Points, where we talk all things government and data. I'm your host, Eric Ries.
And I'm your co-host, Sharon Paley. Today we're going to be talking about something most people have heard of but don't know much about, the Federal Reserve.
To talk about the Federal Reserve, we're chatting with Shannon McKay, the Community Development Research Manager at the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond. Shannon has a PhD in Urban Studies and Planning from MIT, and the Fed branch in Richmond, she manages research and publications on topics including data, which we're interested in, mapping, small business lending, and workforce development.
Great. Let's turn it over to the interview with Shannon.
Thanks for joining us today, Shannon. We're really glad to have you here. So can you tell us a little bit about the Fed and what its structure is like, what districts mean, high level stuff?
Sure, Sharon, and I'm happy to be here as well. The Federal Reserve is our decentralized central bank for the United States. So we have both a central government component, that's the Board of Governors and then Washington, D.C. That's sort of our federal government part. And then we have a regional nonprofit component, which is the 12 regional banks called districts that are spread across the United States. So I'm from the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, and our district, which is known as the 5th District, covers Maryland, D.C., Virginia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and most of West Virginia.
Got it. So how do you all interact with the federal government structure or the central government component, as you just noted? Because I kind of, you know, I learned about the Fed in high school probably, and I don't remember
setting so much. Interest rates and
yeah,
that's it.
I don't remember so much about it, but I'm curious as to how your work at the local level interacts with that.
So we will partner with the Federal Reserve Board of Governors in D.C. on different activities. We also get regulations from them, so they are more in terms of sort of the banking regulations come from that side, and then we at the local level will help financial institutions understand what those rules might mean and help them figure out ways to work around them and develop partnerships and examples to understand them. So it's really, they come from top down to us. We then sort of help spread the word and knowledge about them. But at the same time, each bank president gets to sit on the FOMC and make those decisions about the interest rate and setting the monetary policy for the country. And it does rotate which ones get to vote. So certain years, I think this year, for example, our bank president does not have a voting role, but he gets to participate in all the discussions around interest rate policies.
And can you tell us about community reinvestment and what that means for the bank?
Sure. So the Community Reinvestment Act, this is actually the 40th anniversary. The act was
Happy
passed.
Anniversary.
Yeah. The act was passed in 1977. And its goal was to deal with issues of redlining that were taking place across the country, where portions of cities were not receiving investment from financial institutions, and neighborhoods were just blocked off from receiving credit. So the community development offices, we used to be called community affairs offices, came about as a way to respond to the Community Reinvestment Act and to be a voice and a data gathering place for individuals and communities who were having issues around not receiving financial needs, financial credit investment from financial institutions. So we started out as a place for them to come to us, tell us their concerns, what issues they were dealing with, and we've now evolved into a broader agenda where we deal with issues around small business, neighborhood stabilization, housing finance, workforce development, but we still maintain that role around the Community Reinvestment Act and helping actually make connections then between financial institutions and nonprofits who could be the recipients of the credit that and capital that those financial institutions have to meet their Capital Reinvestment Act requirements.
So what would a kind of sample intervention look like?
I guess intervention might not be the right word, but the way that we could help foster sort of a partnership between the groups or network there is if we hear of a project potentially tended a lot to be around housing, but now the act has been broadened to actually touch on workforce development issues and also healthy communities. So potentially we could hear that a local government or nonprofit is trying to do something around workforce development training opportunity, that they may need additional funding. And it's a potential opportunity if that project could be in an area that has low and moderate income individuals and is defined as sort of a target area for investment by or meets the capital investment requirements from the Community Reinvestment Act, then we can make connections for that nonprofit to financial institutions and say, hey, you guys are looking for a way to meet your CRA requirement. Here's a program that can meet that need for you and start that connection between them.
And you just listed a bunch of questions there, Shannon, like, do I meet XYZ requirements? What is the income of certain communities? Like, how are you all helping nonprofits and local governments understand those data requirements? Because that's what we're all about. And trying to talk through a little bit how local governments and local groups might start to navigate those questions, I think is really helpful for our listeners.
Sure. So a type of event that we've done actually across our district is we've brought together nonprofits and financial institutions, typically their community reinvestment officer, and we'll bring them together so it becomes sort of a 101 on the Community Reinvestment Act. And then there's networking time for those nonprofits to then sort of possibly pitch their projects to the financial institutions and see if there's a connection or a fit there. So that's one way. Another way is that we offer data. We have a policy map widget on our website that we have targeted some of the Community Reinvestment Act data. So what are the distressed and underserved areas and low and moderate areas in our district? So you can go, you can look at that widget, you can zoom in to the census tract level and see, you know, am I located in an area that meets that requirement? And then potentially figure out, you could come back to us and say, hey, I have this need or this program, this idea. Could you connect me with some financial institutions? Or vice versa, financial institutions could reach out to us and we can try and make a connection to what we know in the network. So that's one way. We also have also resources and other papers on our website that would go into further detail about the Community Reinvestment Act. And then we can also help someone pull down the actual data from the FFIEC.
What's that stand for?
Yeah, what's FFIEC? I should know, probably.
You peeled that one off real quick.
Yeah, and I should know what each of those letters stand for, and I can't tell you off the top of my head. But it is a clearinghouse for all of the CRA data that you can go in and download an Excel file of it. If you're much more tech savvy, you can download a CSV file, be able to put it into your statistical software, and it'll sort of do analysis for you. But it is a resource of data that it has more of a query tool that you can pull down and go in and look specific bank or specific county information. So you can get a sense of how much investment is taking place by financial institutions in my area each year.
So one of the first questions we get in terms of open data or just data in generally from local governments is that their community members say, like, I want to see my house, I want to see my neighborhood, what are you doing in my neighborhood? And so do you all have any tools that can help that? I know, you know, there are ways to find out what, you know, bank you're in, what district, but do you have any tools like that that can help answer that question for local governments?
Sure. So I would say that would be best served by our policy map widget that we have on our website. We've actually have it broken up by each of our geographies. So we have a tab for DC, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, and Maryland. So which will you go to it, you start there, you'll start right on Maryland, and then you can just zoom in and look at, we only have a select policy map has tons of data layers. We have just a few, which we picked are most relevant to us. So they will tend to be more on the financial institution side or income, economic measures. But you can go in and you can see, zoom all the way down to the census tract, probably for some, maybe down to the block level, and see sort of what income level is there from the census tract where I'm living, what banks are located around me, what sort of the loan activity. So we do offer that tool, and I think it's a great resource. And once you start there, you can print off the map. You can pull the file and then be able to sort of stick it in your own presentation that you're doing if you just don't have the GIS capabilities in your office. And you can also then go to the larger policy map widget, policy map sort of just website in general, if there are other layers that you'd like to add on to what you've got that we're not currently providing you access to.
I'm curious, with your work in the 5th District, what is the most exciting, fun data project that you all are working on that relates to local communities, and whether it's Community Reinvestment Act or otherwise, that, you know, is coming out of the work that you're doing?
So one of the things we're excited about is we're still in the development stages of it, but we currently do a publication called Fifth District Footprint for us, which comes out roughly 4 times a year, and we take a topic in community development world, we do a map of it, and then we do some short text. And right now it comes up as like a PDF, and it's not very interactive for our audiences. And so what we're doing now is turning that into our goal for next year is to be an online interactive map. So the individuals will be able to, right now, like if you look at Baltimore, it's got a big dot on it, like which of the label Baltimore, so very much obscures being able to really see the color of what it's representing on the map for that area. So our hope is with this interactive platform, the audiences will be able to zoom in to certain geographies, be able to see the actual data values for that geography, and then download the data if they want to play with it and do some other analysis for their extension of that piece. So that's one of our data tool things that we're looking forward to launching next year.
Cool.
Am I supposed to ask?
Yeah.
Sorry. I lost count. So can you tell us about some of the other practical applications of your work? Like, we know that you're doing small business credit surveys, so what's that look like? What kind of data are you getting out of those?
Sure, so the small business credit survey was an effort that began in 2014, started with a few regional banks, and now has extended to nationally. All 12 regional banks are involved. We've been involved in it since our 2015 data collection year. So we actually launched our 2017 collection at the beginning of September. So for any small businesses out there, we encourage you to apply if you get the link for it. It is our effort to understand what are the credit needs of small businesses out there. Coming out of the recession, that was one of the biggest issues we were hearing, that small businesses were not being able to gain access to credit as they were pre-recession. So understanding better what is the tight market there, as well as that small businesses are sort of considered the heartbeat of our businesses, our Main Street communities, and understanding what further their needs are there. So we do the survey every year, typically in the fall. It's asking questions around financing for small businesses. Where are they going? Are they going to large banks, small banks? Are we starting to see them go to online lenders now to get their needs met? What type of satisfaction are they receiving from these transactions? Are they getting as much financing as they hoped for? Mm-hmm. And then also just some general business conditions about them. How profitable are they doing? Are they looking to raise employment next year? And so we put that out, usually typically the following spring, April, May, a report nationally on employer firms. And then we do sub reports out of that. They're much more tailored to topics. So right now we came out end of August on a report on startups. And we're actually working on one right now around rural small businesses and seeing what the differences between their needs versus urban businesses. There'll also be reports coming out around minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, and then micro-businesses, which are those businesses with 5 employees or fewer. And our goal right now is the data that we've gathered is kept internal to us within the bank, but we're making an effort to think about, this is a unique data set that we want to make available to those outside. So we're working, and hopefully by next year, we'll be able to extend that to other researchers outside of the Federal Reserve System to use that data.
So, and how do you all facilitate that kind of sharing now? Because one thing that we often see as a challenge for our local governments that we work with is there's a great best practice that's happening in Kansas City, and it doesn't get applied in Richmond just because there's no way for them to share that information. So how are you all tackling that kind of question for yourselves across districts and also across communities, even within districts?
So we do a lot of partnering across the system, which may involve just 2 reserve banks talking to each other. It may be all 12 reserve banks coming together around the issue. So, for example, on the small business one, it started actually with just the New York Fed, the Atlanta Fed, Cleveland Fed, and then the Philadelphia Fed working together on the survey. And then it sort of got in other banks seeing the need, and, okay, we have a partner networks that are interested in this information. Let's reach out to them for them to distribute it for us, and sort of then built that way nationwide. One effort where we have really started sort of system is we just had in Austin, Texas, last week wrapping up a workforce development conference. So bringing key workforce development practitioners nationwide together to talk about what's happening in that industry. And that's an opportunity, both sort of practitioner and research side. And coming out of that, there's going to be a book that will come out to share those practices. Most likely there will be potentially some podcasts, probably a webinar of some of the different findings. Mm-hmm. So I'll start nationally and then go back down to spread that information locally of what we have found. So we may end up doing then follow-up events within our district to share the information that was developed for the national conference.
And are you kind of like re-envisioning what those national recommendations are for your local context, like for the district's context?
Right. So we could find out that some of the ideas that worked nationally may not work in our local context because of certain regulations mm-hmm. or absence of capacity on certain nonprofit side. So then we'll have to look and see, well, what works best there and go with what we can do. And then if it's like, whoa, this practice has had a lot of strength nationwide, but we don't have the capacity here, then that suggests to us we need to start building up the capacity to be able to handle that types of practice. And that's somewhere where we'll start to build and work with the nonprofit sector to think about how can we strategically build that capacity for you all to then be able to later do this type of practice.
So if I am John Q. local government employee, I'm interested in learning about the Fed resources and how I can use them better. What should I do? Where should I start and where should I go?
So one great central place to start is our richmondfed.org website. We have a community development tab featured prominently there. So you can go in and that's where you'll find all of our publications, our resources, contact information so that you can reach out to both individuals who are on the research side, such as myself, as well as we have individuals who are in our, we consider them our field team, in each of our offices, so in Charlotte, Baltimore, and Richmond. And you can work with them individually to sort of figure out what might meet your needs, and they can get assessment as sort of their network to help you there. So that's one source. Another way to learn about sort of what's happening system-wide in the community development world is we have fedcommunities.org. And this is where reserve banks will bring together sort of resources from their individual websites all to one place, one repository. And that's organized around topics of small business, place, people, and policy and practice. And you can go on there and sort of figure out, well, what's the San Francisco Fed doing, what's the St. Louis Fed doing, and it's a great resource to start from. And it has the opportunity that you can type in your zip code if you don't quite know what mm-hmm. reserve bank I am in, because our boundaries are a little different. We're based on 1913 boundaries of the country.
Yeah, there's two in Missouri, right?
Right,
Kansas
yes.
City and St. Louis.
Yes. So you type in your zip code, and it'll tell you what is your reserve bank there, as well as which contacts to be able to reach out to.
Cool.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Shannon.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks again for joining us. If you want more information and links to all the things we talked about today, please check out our show notes at govx.jhu.edu/podcast. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at gov_ex.
Thanks as always for listening, and we hope you join us again soon to find out where the data points.